session number 11970, reel 6.
Mr. Albert Birtwistle, reel 6. You just told me how you joined the 1st 5th East Lancashires at Courcelles.
Yes.
On the same draft as your friend again, Peter.
Yes.
What do you remember about the state of the battalion when you joined them?
Well, they were only a few and far between, because they'd been up in the line at Epi. They'd come from Dardanelles and they'd sent them up the line at a place called Epi, and they'd got badly done to there, and they'd been lost a lot of men there, so they were back on the Courcelles on rest, waiting for reinforcements to bring the battalion up to strength again, do you see? So quite a while, because every draft, you know, they had only a few sent up in each draft. And so,
was the morale like amongst the older, you know, the ones who'd been?
Oh, they're all right. They were all right. Yeah.
They weren't disheartened then.
No. Some of them a little bit down, I suppose. The elder ones, only natural, because they'd been badly mauled.
And which company were you put into?
Well, I think it was D Company.
Do you remember the officers?
Oh, I can't tell you now, the officers. Captain Hodge was the captain. But as regards the other officers, I couldn't tell you what they were called.
What about the company sergeant major? Do you remember him?
Well, I don't, actually.
No,
I remember the quartermaster sergeant Ross. You were a nice chap. He came from Burnley.
And what job were you given? You were an experienced corporal. What job were you given when you arrived?
Well, I wasn't long before I was made up sergeant, and then I was a platoon sergeant, you see. So it wasn't long.
You don't remember your platoon officer, do you?
No, I don't. I don't remember.
Did you have an officer in charge of the platoon?
Oh, yes, we had a platoon officer, yes. And, I can't remember that. I remember Captain Hodge quite well.
What was he like?
Oh, you're a nice chap. You're quite a decent fellow, Captain Hodge.
And what were you doing during this period?
Well, we were drilled. They were drilling. And like you'd taken before, all the, you know, same old thing over and over again. We were taken. Then we had exercises, you know, for like they were doing up the line and all that. But they were waiting for men to come, really. And then there was a pantomime crowd there. I showed you that doing, didn't I? I should have wrote it down. They had a divisional pantomime, which used to come round to the different battalions, you know.
What was it like?
Oh, they were good. It was amazing, really.
The concert party?
Yes, a concert party. And the principal, took Cinderella. Well, you'd have took her for a girl, for a woman, you would. And the principal boy, they came through the camp, you know. You talk about wolf whistles and everything else, because they came in the dress, you see, they had when they were on the stage. Marvellous, really.
And what else did they have? Did they have comedians? And
oh, they had all sorts of, yeah, turns there. And we had one or two parties, like, you know, about the, in the companies, different companies.
Did you have a sports day while you were building up?
No, I don't remember any sports day, but we were making gardens and all sorts there where we were at Courcelles, like around the camp, you know. And then we had bits of parties, like company parties and all that. And, of course, I used to do a bit of reciting.
What sort of thing?
The Green Eye of the Little Yellow God was one, you know. That was an old sergeant, Salvation Union, Gunga Din. But I don't know, I've forgotten. I could say Green Eye, Little Yellow God, I dare say, but I don't know, a little bit. And then I made poetry up myself. I was a bit of a poet myself as well.
You'd started already then, because I know you do
it
now.
Oh, yes, I did. I did a bit, you know. Elementary stuff, you know, then. Then I got going.
Did you go... What did you do for the recreation? Did you go to the estaminets and stuff?
Do what?
Did you visit the French estaminets? Cafe?
Well, not often, no. We weren't drinkers, really. They did. The lads used to go, you know, down to Estam's. But we hadn't enough money to go French beer drinking.
Did you try the wine?
We tried the wine. We tried all sorts.
What did you think of it?
Not so much. And then we used to go for the... They had a cafe there. Well, I used to go for Der Erf and Pont de Tour, Madame, you know, and was trying to talk French as well as we could, you know.
Egg and chips.
Egg and chips. Yeah.
Was that really all they served? Because that's what you always hear.
More or less, didn't you know, more or less. And the French bread, you know, the French bread, they were brown, very dark, nearly black. Oh dear.
Now, then you moved up into the Ypres area, and I think we'll miss that out for now at least, because I think if you look at, if we take copies of your poems and put them in your file, I think we'll see just how you feel about what happened to you there. And I think we don't want to... bring that up too much just at the moment. I'd like to move past that to when you were back out from Ypres and on rest.
Yeah.
Was it Berber?
Oh no, that wasn't from Berber then. It was a lot later than Berber, because that was 1918 when we were at Berber, when Jerry broke through in March 1918.
So where did you go after Ypres?
We were in the line at different places. Where what they called being quiet, you know, where there was no action going on much. Festival, went into Festival, went into Givenchy. I'll tell you in a minute. We went in the different parts of the line that was quiet. Because we were reduced and we had to make do with what we had. I went at Festivert, Newport, Le Basse, Dunkirk. Ostend.
Now, which of those do you remember best for the actual conditions?
Well.
Because we're quite interested in the conditions of in the line in a quiet spot.
Yeah, well, I think it was at Givenchy where we were in a quiet spot there at Christmas. And it was Christmas time.
Christmas 1917.
It was 1917, wasn't it?
Oh. What was the trench?
1917.
What were the trenches like at Givenchy at that stage? Could you describe what they were like?
I get mixed up in the body because at one point, and I don't know where it was now, But the Germans they cut the canal banking and let all the water out onto our trenches, you know, and they were pretty rough there, pretty grim because of the water.
Would that be up near Newport?
No, that wasn't on the Newport side. No, Newport was on the coast. I can't just tell you which front it was, but.
Well,
the trenches were varied. Some of them, they'd only sandbags built, and there was nobody behind, no parador. There were duck boards along, and little bits of dugouts built up with sandbags.
But it was all above ground?
Oh yes, all on the surface. But I know at Dunkirk we were in a dugout there, and we had a Hotchkiss gun to look to, one of the old Hotchkiss guns to look to, and we were looking out on the sea there.
And this is before the German attack in 1918.
Oh yes, that was long before that. This was at varied times from going up at Ypres, being in the third Battle of Ypres, to right through. We had different points.
Well, let's just look at conditions generally, you know, on the Western Front. Not at Ypres particularly, but yes, sort of these quieter areas.
Oh, well...
Without pinning it down, just pin it down when you remember a certain thing, you know. What would the dugout be like, generally?
Well, they were only just built up with sandbags, that was all, and corrugated iron on the top and a few sandbags on top to take the shrapnel. That was all they were, just at the, sort of in the back of the parador, you know, built in there. But at one place now, we had some 60-foot dugouts, but still there were some little bits of dugouts on the top. Now these were in the parapet, dug into the parapet, and they had peepholes through at the top so to look through to the German lines. You see, because they were sort of on guard, you know, they were on. On the fire step, more or less. But I remember this day, we'd been told that if there were any aircrafts overhead, we had to get down these 60-foot dugouts. And I went round to visit all my posts, and I came to the last post, and there were two privates in there, and they were watching, you know, through these peepholes. But... this were one that were built into the parador, dug into the parador, and just a corrugated iron over the top with the sandbags on. They had their ground sheets hung down at the front in the trench, to the trench. Now, the plane came over, and I used to have a shadow, because you had to have a shadow in case anything happened to you, you see, and then you could send a message with him. What they call a platoon runner. And he had to go with me everywhere I went. He had to go with me. And he said to me, he said, Bert, he said, that's a plane over. He said, we've got to go down that dugout. I said, oh, I said, we'll be all right here. He said, we've got to go down that dugout. I have to tell you what to do. He said, you haven't to stop here. He said, you're down that dugout. So, of course, off we went out of this, where we've been sat talking to these other two. And ran down, and we just got down the dugout when a million to one, this plane came over, and, you know, because they dropped the bombs over the side then with the hand, you know, dropped them out. And, you know, it hit the parador, and it exploded right into the place where these two were. Well, of course, we did scrape them off the wall, didn't we? They're just the bones there, that's all. They'd blown all the flesh off the bones. So that was another one instance of somebody were watching over, weren't they? But, I mean, to say the two that were left there, it was...
What about rations? You know, talking about the conditions, how did you get your rations up during the day or during the evening?
Well, you didn't get them up during the day, you went up during the night. It was all night duty, you know, your fatigue parties. The limbers used to come up and put them off at one point, and you used to have to pick them up and take them up the line, you see, then, you know, with a party. But...
How did you carry the food?
Up on your shoulder, because they're in sandbags. It was all in sandbags, you know. And then not only that, but it was the the barbed wire and the pickets, you know, for wire in between the two, between no man's land and no man's land that you had to take up. All sorts of things.
And you'd take a party back from the front line to
Oh, yeah. Well, no, not from the front line. Never took the front line troops. They were always there. They were always reserve.
So the rations...
The supports and reserves that were on ration, you know.
The rations would be brought up by them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they took them up.
And when they arrived, what sort of food would you get?
Well...
I'm talking about front line now.
Sometimes you'd 16 to a loaf. You'd cut it into 16 slices, and that were a slice of bread. You got 16, so you can tell him. And you used to bring them up in sandbags, and you used to get boiled bacon, and in sandbag, where you were, all this body off the sandbag were on the bacon that you were getting.
The hairs. And,
yeah, that's right. The hair off the. All sorts of bully beef, you know, you got tins of bully beef. Now, occasionally, but very occasionally, you got McConaughey's. Well, McConaughey's were like potato pie, more or less, you know, in tins. Them were all right, we used to like them, but them used to be fellas before us got them down the line.
What about the bully beef? What was it like?
Oh, I mean, good bully beef. Good in tins, you know, tin of bully beef. But...
Did you open them? With the key? Did they have the keys?
Like had the keys on. Yes. Oh yeah, they had the keys on. Then we had jackknives as well. You know, that would open a bully beef tin. We had a jackknife because they had a tin opener and everything. You know, a spike on for what they used to take stone dead horses' hoofs with and all that sort of thing, and a knife blade and all that.
Did you have as many accidents opening the tins then as people do now?
They do. Yeah, they did. Because they had the same facilities there. Well, we had some jobs opening tins, I'll tell you.
So that, did you get pork and beans ever?
Oh, yeah, we got pork and beans. Yeah, we got pork and beans, and we got
what did you think
cardboard cartons of cardboard like tins of marmalade and all that, you know.
What did you think of the pork and beans?
Well, all right, it was very good. You got we used to mix that with our bacon, fry it in our Dixie lid. You know, because they sent us little tins of solidified methylated spirits. And you used to light the methylated spirits and put it under your Dixie, you know, put it on a couple of bricks or whatever it were you could find to put them on and lift it up and then put this methylated spirit, because it didn't give any smoke off, didn't that, you know. But if you lit a fire, started lighting a fire with wood or anything like that, jury he'd soon put a shell where you were. But we used to get a piece of wood and get our knife, and we're chipping forever, getting very, very fine pieces of splinters, you know, and feeding it with these splinters if we hadn't any vaporized doings, you know, just to light it so that it wouldn't form any smoke. But if you smoke, you'd soon have a shell there.
What about the biscuits? Did you get the hard...
Oh, we got the hard biscuits. That was what we got mostly, that.
What were they like?
They were like dog biscuits, weren't they? Big 6 inches. I cut the middle out of once and put a photograph in of a sergeant of our regiment, Sergeant Bent, and I put this photograph in the centre of it and sent it home, you know. They had it under a glass case at our home for I don't know how long until... I don't remember it ever being destroyed. Only my sister was left with all the remains of our home when I got married, and she were left with it on her own. So
they really were that hard then?
Oh, yeah, they were hard. You meat took you all your time to chew them.
Did you eat them?
Oh, I've eaten scores. You were eating them all day long because you were hungry and you couldn't what it feed anything else.
What about your teeth? Could you? I mean. Teeth weren't that good sometimes in them days. Did you have any trouble eating them?
No, I hadn't, because I had good teeth. I had good teeth. And it was just scrubbing. And then we were up at, I don't know, Gavinci at Christmas, I think it was, when we used to have to go on, put white suits on to go out on night patrol, you know, to creep about in...
I'll come back to that, because I've got some questions about that. Now, you mentioned you got marmalade.
Oh, we got marmalade in them cardboard cartons. Yeah.
And would that be with your bread and biscuits?
Yes, yes.
Well, did you get any other flavoured jam?
Oh, you got some jam sometimes, yes. Oh, you got jam, you got different things like that, but you're always short rationed, you know, in the front line. Everybody seemed to have the share behind, and then you were like left with what there were.
Did you find the diet a bit monotonous?
No, you were too glad to eat, I'll tell you, what they sent up, because you were always hungry. We were.
Did you get sick of bully in particular?
No, you didn't. No, we used to fry it in with the baked beans and all that, you know, and the bacon would used to make a bit of a fry up, you know.
Did you ever get hot food brought up to you in the front?
No, that's one thing we didn't. But I've been in the line quite a lot. And they sent for me in the office. And they said, Mr. Sergeant, we're sending you down on a cook's course, a master cook. So when I was down on this master cook's course, you know, being a bricklayer, I built some ovens for them down there because they hadn't done. They used to be all in a row, you know, with the and these dixies on, and it was all stew. They had nothing. They never had anything roasted. So I built some ovens for them down at the cookery class. Down the cookery class.
You'd learnt your master bricklaying from your father, I presume.
Oh, yes, yes.
You hadn't actually done it as a profession, had you?
No.
But he taught you.
Worked with my father, yes. And then he used to go down in the yard as well, you know, in the contractor's yard, helping them out with the stones and everything, you know.
Now, what were these ovens like? How did you build them?
Well, a lot of old bricks that were formed from what the buildings that had been knocked down, you see. And then you put sand as well on to retain the heat, you know. It left the flues, you know, up the sides and over the top and with the chimney on the top. They're tittle pink when they got these ovens, I'll tell you, down there. And not only that, but they introduced us to some, like the vacuums, but they were for carrying on your back. Big containers on the back. And with vacuum, but it like a vacuum plus. So when I got back to the battalion, I indented for some of these carriers, you know, to carry with it. And I made soup. And we sent it up to them at midnight, and that was the first time they had a hot meal in the front line.
Now, what did they teach you on this course? We might as well go on to that.
Well, it was more or less rough cooking, you know, stews and all that sort of thing. Because they hadn't had no roast until I put these ovens up, so like that wasn't brought into it. It were just on general. General body on the meat, you know, how to use the meat up and all the rations and different things, what you could do to alleviate the diet a little bit, you know.
Now, you were an expert shot. Why were they thinking of making you a cook, if you see what I mean?
Oh, dear, they did all sorts out there because I've been up the line so much, you know. I've been up the line quite a lot. And they said, you've done enough in the line for a while, you go down and have a rest. So I went down on this course of instruction.
Did you actually do the cooking for a while? As a sergeant cook?
Well, they sent me a master cook. They put me on the battalion after was it cook? And the various things there. That's when I sent the hot meal up the line to them, to the company. And. And all the rations, I sorted the rations out because they were pinching the meat, you know. Some of the
who were pinching
the cook,
them?
Well, the cooks, some of the cooks, you know, they were taking the rations and that. So I could tell the rations were down, so I watched them and sorted them out.
You caught them then?
Oh, I did catch them. So I sent them back to the battalion and got some more lads on then, you know. Yeah.
What was the job of a... What equipment did you have for the cooks?
Well, we hadn't a lot of equipment.
Was this the company cooks or the battalion cooks?
Only the company. Company cooks would have it on for their company. But we had dixies, you know. You used to have to build a trench and put your fire in the trench and your dixies on the what is it to cook, you know. Because it was all stews, more or less. Very, very seldom you got a... I built some one or two ovens in a chalk quarry once when we got behind the line. We were well behind the line. And I put these one or two ovens and roasted some meat for them. Yeah.
What were the duty? What meals would the cooks try and do? I mean, normally they would... What would they have been cooking when before... If you see what I mean, you got the first hot meal up to the men in the line.
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
were they cooking before then?
It was soup that I sent up the line, you know, to them. Hot soup. Oh, the general things. I can't just tell you now.
And how long were you on that job for?
I wasn't long because there was a master cook came out to our battalion, to our company. And I said, you better put him on this master cook job. I said, because I'm not, I want to get up the line again. I weren't satisfied with down there. I didn't like it down there at all, on the cookery job.
Right, so that's the rations we sort of talked about. What about water? Did you get much water?
Well,
did you get
water was sent up in carton, petrol tins, actually. You know, it came up in petrol tins.
Had they been used for petrol, or were they just the same?
Well, they'd washed out. No, they've been washed out. Well, you know, there wasn't any petrol. Not only that, but they put chlorine in the water, you know, for it.
And did you get enough water?
No, not really. I mean to say, because you many a time you were shaving an egg cup full of water, you know, you hadn't a lot of water, and the water that was there was rubbish, you know, unless you were again a river.
Well, did it taste funny with the chlorine? And
well, it did. You could taste the chlorine in it, yes, that they put in.
Did you get a tea ration as well as a water ration? I mean, would you get tea up?
Oh, we got tea, yes. Oh, you got tea.
Would the cook send that
Dixies.
Up?
Well, Dixies. Dixies. No, 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 not up the line. No, you had to make your own tea up the line. Yeah, boil your Dixie with the...
Were you aware that you shouldn't drink water from shell holes, or did
oh,
you?
Oh, yes, oh, I'd be joking. Well, you wouldn't, you dear me, it were green, you know, shell hole water, and slime on the top. Terrible.
That was something you'd never do?
Oh, yeah, well, you didn't drink water out of a tap either.
Why not?
Well, French water, it wasn't supposed to be a bit contaminated, you know. And then, not only that, but in some of the villages, they took the pump handles off.
Why had they done that?
So you couldn't have the water.
How
peculiar, really.
How did you feel about that?
Well, they felt very bitter, didn't they, our lads? Yeah.
Did they know why the French had done that?
No, not that I know. I don't know why they'd...
What about rum? Did you get a rum ration in the line?
Well, we got a rum ration, yes. Oh, yes, we got a rum
ration. How would that be doled out?
Well, the officer usually had a little cup, and I used to fetch the rum ration up. I used to go down for the jar of rum, and then the officer used to deal it out, and he had a little cup to measure it out, you know.
Did you take the rum yourself?
Me? Oh, yes, I had the rum. If I were in the line, you know.
Did it
help?
Oh,
it kept you warm. Oh, yes, you could keep warm off a rum.
What about cigarette ration? Did you get a cigarette ration?
Well, we got a cigarette ration too, and there were some terrible things.
What was wrong with
them? Foreign stuff, you know. These Egyptians and all sorts of things we got. They were horrible. They were...